My life's in you, my strength's in you, my hope's in you, in you.
This is a presentation of the Durham Church of Christ in Durham, North Carolina. We are located at 5224 Wake Forest Highway. If you are ever in the Durham area, we hope that you will come by and visit us.
Our effort this morning is going to be to encourage mothers by seeing in the Bible how mothers have contributed to the purpose and kingdom of God. We have a challenge before us in today's society in understanding the high importance of motherhood. Mothers are degraded, mothers are discouraged, and mothers are beat down day in and day out. Not only because of the task that they have before them, but also because of the lack of encouragement that they receive from society, from our neighbors, from our television screens, and really the discouragement, rather, that is given to them instead. We can see the need for raising faithful children throughout the Bible. The need to bring up children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. The need to give our children tender love and tender care. And the medical fields have recognized the need for children being paid close attention and being given proper love and care. Ross Campbell, in a book titled How to Really Love Your Child, notes that children need focused attention. He writes, focused attention is giving a child our full, undivided attention in such a way that he or she feels without doubt that he or she is completely loved, that he or she is valuable enough in his or her own right to warrant parents' undistracted watchfulness, appreciation, and uncompromising regard. Children are in need of attention that is delicate, that is unique, especially just to them. And really, the only ones who are able to administer this type of attention are the parents, the ones who have bore the children. And the mother is blessed with the opportunity to oftentimes give this type of attention to the child from the very beginnings of this child's life when the child is first brought into the world. Dr. Meeker recognizes some failures that will happen later on in life if a child does not receive this type of attention. She notes higher teen pregnancy rate, higher suicide rate, increase in drug and alcohol abuse. Dr. James Dobson and Gary Baer suggest a solution. The solution to children engaging in such activities later on in life is motherhood. They write, a mother's love is the common currency that not only enables individuals to resist a slide into madness and antisocial behavior, but also permits civilization to prevail from one generation to the next. Mothers are able to give children this undivided attention in a way that no other thing upon creation is able to give that child. And we understand from the medical field the impact that can take place upon children when they do not receive this type of attention. Dr. Babley writes, children feel the need to be with their mothers just as they feel the need for food. And let me tell you, this explains a lot that takes place in our household. Because our children will whine and will cry if daddy tries to do everything in the world to get them to calm down, but sometimes they just won't stop until they have mommy. Mothers and their impact is powerful. Children who do not receive the care they need from their mothers become lost, angry, and impacted to a point that is irreparable, according to Dr. Babley. Children need their mothers. The conclusion of all these studies is that mothers matter. Mothers matter. God wants you to know, mothers, that you are important. Your service, your sacrifice for the kingdom makes a difference. Mothers, we need you. We need you. Without you, we would not be here. We would not be alive. We would not be present And if the mother just simply gave birth to the child and then it was up to the father to raise the child, if it was up to me, our children probably wouldn't make it past the age of one. Mothers, your work is needed. Without you, the Christ would not have been born in the flesh. Without you, the church would not exist. Mothers matter, we're going to notice this morning, because of perpetuity, because of purity, because of promise, because of purpose, and because of power. Mothers, you matter because of perpetuity. Think about with me for just a moment, if Adam and Eve had decided that they were not going to obey the commandment God gave them in Genesis 1 verse 28 to be fruitful and multiply. What if Eve just decided that she didn't want to be a mother? Well, creation would have stopped at two. And so it was by mothers then that creation would continue, that creation would perpetuate. And it would be through her seed that God would then bring the death blow to Satan, as we read in Genesis 3 and verse 15. And so it would be through the perpetuation of creation and of God continuing to allow life to exist by mothers bearing children, giving birth to children, and raising children, that creation would multiply. And that eventually the seed would come that would give Satan his death blow. We read in Genesis chapter 5 over and over again of how creation continued. In verses 4, 7, 10, 13, 15, 19, 22, 26, and verse 30, we read those who were the descendants of Eve and Adam from the very beginning bore sons and children, daughters. So creation continued. It continued because of mothers. And we see it also continuing after the flood in Genesis chapter 10. Abraham and Sarah ended up bearing Isaac. Isaac and Rebekah gave birth to Jacob. And Jacob was eventually renamed Israel in Genesis 32 and verse 28. The children of Israel then would perpetuate greatly. They would become a great and mighty nation, just as God had promised Abraham. In Exodus chapter 1 verse 7, we read the children of Israel were fruitful and increased abundantly and multiplied and waxed exceedingly mighty. And the land was filled with them. The children of Israel went into Egypt. They were a beloved people. They were an accepted people because of Joseph. But then there came up a Pharaoh that knew not Joseph. And this Pharaoh realized how the children of Israel had multiplied greatly. And that if Egypt was ever addressed by attack by the children of Israel, that they would surely be overtaken because of how numerous they were. God was building His kingdom. He was building His nation. As a matter of fact, in Numbers chapter 1 verse 45, we learn that the number of fighting men that were present, this is after the children of Israel had left Egypt, they had gone through the Red Sea on dry ground, they had come into the wilderness, and the census is occurring. And as it's occurring, they count 603,550 fighting men. Some folks estimate that the population of Israel at this time may have been close to 3 million people. So God's people were being multiplied. But without mothers, that would have never happened. That would have never occurred. And Paul notes this in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. He states, starting in verse 11, "Neither is the man without the woman, neither the woman without the man in the Lord. For as the woman is of the man," because see, Eve was taken from the rib of Adam. Then he notes, though, "even so is the man also by the woman." Because man would not continue to exist without woman bearing sons. But then he goes on to state, "but all things of God." The point being, God has used mothers. It's all about God. God used mothers to perpetuate His creation, to perpetuate His nation, and to perpetuate life. But as this nation was perpetuated, it would not have survived without purity. And so mothers matter because of purity. We understand even in our modern time that societies that exist that are immoral eventually at some point are destroyed. They either destroy themselves because of disease. They either destroy themselves because of a lack of law, a lack of self-restraint. or they are simply destroyed by others because they are not organized and well equipped, because they're immoral. Well, God being God then gave His people a law so that they could survive. And that law kept them moral, and it kept them away from the immoral. Exodus chapter 20 and verse 12, we learn of then the importance of obeying one's father and mother. God states in the Ten Commandments, "Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God gives thee." What's the point? The point is, if you don't heed to the commands of your parents, as I have given them commands, then your days are not going to be long. You're not going to survive. You're not going to enjoy the land of Canaan that I've given you. And so mothers then matter, because mothers were able to keep the children of Israel pure by their instruction. Hence the reason why God states what He does in Deuteronomy chapter 6. And we're going to read this if you want to follow along. Begin with me at verse 3, Deuteronomy chapter 6. God says, "Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee, in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. And thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates." Wow! God is making a point, isn't He? He's saying, "Know my law." Why? So your days can be great, so you can be mighty, so you can increase and enjoy this land flowing with milk and honey. But if you don't obey my commands, if you don't know my commands, then you're going to perish. You're going to become immoral. You're not going to survive. So God then commands the parents to teach their children diligently the law of the Lord. And the description that is given there, wow, it makes you think. It makes you think, I could just be teaching constantly if I'm going to try to teach based upon the way that God commanded the parents of Israel to teach. The seed had to be preserved. Therefore, these laws had to be known. What seed? Well, the seed of Abraham, Genesis 22 and verse 18. God told Abraham it would be in his seed that all the nations of the earth would be blessed. Therefore, God made a promise. He made a promise that it would be through Abraham that every nation and all of creation would have the opportunity to be right with God. But see, if the children of Israel did not remain pure, they were going to die off. And that promise would never have been realized. So the mother's instruction then kept Israel pure. You know the saying, Rick, we talked about it earlier, mother knows best. Where does that come from? That comes from God telling the children to listen to the mother because of the commandments that God had given the mother. Mother knows best. Why? Because God has given mothers the commandments to give their children. Mothers matter because of purity, but mothers matter because of that promise. Because of that promise that was given to Abraham. In Galatians chapter 2, starting in verse 16, Paul writes, "Now to Abraham in his seed were the promises made. He saith not, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. And this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law, which was 430 years after, cannot disannul, that it should make the promise of none effect." Paul is stating, it is because of the law, it's because of Israel and the nation of Israel, that the seed was able to come about. That seed being the seed of Abraham, that seed being Christ, who was born of the fleshly lineage of Abraham. Hence, in verse 4 of chapter 4, Paul then writes, "But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made or born of a woman, made under the law." God used a woman, a mother, to bring about His promise. Think about this with me for a moment. God created woman. And in doing so, He created her a certain way, with certain characteristics and certain ways of thinking that is just separate from man. And in doing so, God, knowing how His salvation's plan would come about, according to Ephesians chapter 3, 10 and 11, it was the eternal purpose that God would build the church. God knew that Christ was going to die for the church. God knew how Christ would be sent. So as God created this woman, He created her in a way so that then in the future, after Eve was created, later on in time, when God would then come in the flesh, He entrusted His infancy state to the care of a mother. Brethren, that's powerful. We see how much mothers matter. God chose a mother to care for His infancy state, to tend to him, to burp him, to change him, to coddle him, to swaddle him, to love him. It was by a mother that the promise came to pass. Mothers matter because of the promise, but mothers also matter because of the purpose. We mentioned just a moment ago the eternal purpose of God is the church. In Ephesians chapter 3, beginning in verse 10, we read, "To the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which He purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord." The mothers that are here today with their children are doing exactly what God wants them to do. And that is make the purpose in life be the church. Why? Because that's God's purpose. And God tells us that if we put His righteousness and His kingdom above all other things, that everything will be provided and cared for us. Matthew 6 and verse 33. God will take care of mothers. God will take care of His people. God will take care of those who put His church, His purpose, first. Hence the reason why mothers are instructed as they are throughout the New Testament and blessed with the opportunity to teach their children good things, to love their children, and to keep the home where the children are raised, Titus 2, 3 through 5. Mothers have the opportunity to be involved in the very purpose of God by bringing up the children, raising the children, keeping the home, loving the children, and teaching the children good things. So that when the children then become of age, they can know about God's purpose. Now that does not mean that there is no responsibility falling upon the father. Of course, we understand and have studied before the need for fathers to bring up their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, Ephesians 6 and verse 4. But we also understand that the mother has rule over the home, that she is blessed with that privilege and opportunity, and that she is very involved in the rearing and bringing up of the children. Brethren, that tells me that mothers matter. Mothers matter because of the purpose of God. But mothers also matter because of the power that motherhood brings. In Psalm 127 and verse 3, after learning, after learning that children are an heritage to the Lord and are His reward, we then learn that as arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. We learn then that children are equated to arrows being shot by a mighty man. And so as a mother is bringing up a child and teaching a child, instructing a child, that mother is being likened unto a mighty warrior, preparing her children to go out and to attack and bring power into the world. by influencing the world and all that which is around us regarding, again, the purpose of mom, of the church, God's purpose of the church. Mothers, your impact on raising your children for the purpose of God, it is powerful. Just like an arrow can destroy the enemy, so your children can glorify God and destroy the enemy that is about us. Mothers, I hope that you are encouraged in your work. It is not easy. And I've already stated before, just a few weeks ago, when you ladies went to the ladies' retreat, and I had the opportunity to watch our children for just a weekend, that my hat is tipped to you all. Because the patience, the love, the care, the sacrifice, the pain, the tears that you give your children is powerful. And it matters. I'm so thankful that we have this day to honor you. I'm so thankful for you mothers who emphasize the purpose of God, who emphasize in the lives of your children the need to learn God's will. It is such an encouragement. And I'm so thankful for each one of you mothers. Happy Mother's Day. Are you here this morning, and have you been able to claim God as your father? You know, God has blessed us with mothers. He's also blessed us with fathers. But at the end of the day, He requires that we make Him our Father. And we learn how to do so in Galatians chapter 3. In verses 26 and 27, we learn how we can become the children of God when we put on Christ by being baptized into Christ. It is at that point we then make God our Father because we become His children, and we are then added to His house, as we see taking place on the day of Pentecost in Acts 2 and verse 47. And as we see the church being called the house of God in 1 Timothy 3 and verse 15. You know, the homes that we enjoy, the homes that we enjoy upon this earth, are absolutely wonderful. So blessed by God to be able to have the blessings of family. But these physical families that we enjoy, they will not last forever. I told Hannah just the other day that it's a weird way to look at it, but really we might only have 50, 55 more summers left on this planet, and then we'll be no more. That's a weird way to look at it. But as time continues and continues and continues, hopefully our physical families will mean less and less to us, not because of who they are, but because of the eternal forever to be with in heaven. Can you say this morning that you are on your way to that eternal home in heaven? Can you say this morning that you are a family member of God's household? If you can, I certainly hope that you would come forward in just a moment and be baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins. If you've already been baptized into Christ, have you strayed away from the family of God? Are you an erring brother or sister? Have you left God's house? Don't leave your forever family. We don't ever want to have to say so long goodbye forevermore. But we want to have the confidence to know that when we pass, we will meet each other again in that eternal home in heaven. If you're a brother or sister in Christ but are erring and need to repent, we certainly hope that you would come forward. If you need to become a family member of God, we certainly hope that you would do so. Please come forward as all together we stand and sing.